I love this segment. Unfortunately, it only comes once every 2 months when the issue of Our Wisconsin Magazine comes out. Mike Bino, the editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine, is here with a whole bunch of great stories that all take place in the state of Wisconsin. And Mike, thanks for joining us again. I do appreciate it.
Don, it's always great to be here. It's an honor every time you invite me on. We have fun.
Okay, let's start off with the story. My wife read some articles too. We each got to choose some articles we wanted to read to each other. And she chose the first one. And the only connection to Wisconsin is the article's about a guy in Wisconsin. It's about an invention called the Flowbee, which people may remember from decades ago. It was a hair-cutting device. You put it on your head, it sucks your hair out, cuts your hair, and it's supposed to give you the haircut of a lifetime. You did the article on this guy with the Flowbee. And I got to tell you, after we read the article, I said, I got to see this in action. I looked up 2 YouTube videos on this Flowbee to see actually how it works. And the people who use it swear by it, including the guy in your article. Let's talk about it.
That would be Herb Ripka of Greendale, who swears by it 35 years later. Now, Don, it doesn't surprise me that you hadn't heard about it until now. This thing's decades old, but you're up at what, 3:30 in the morning to get on the radio? You know, this thing was sold on infomercials at midnight when the ad rates were cheap. So Herb became interested in this through infomercials. He worked second shift at a graphics firm in New Berlin, and he'd come home and wind down after work, and he'd see the pocket fisherman, Ron Popeil. He'd see the Vegematic. He'd see all these marvelous devices that'll change your life for only $149.95. He'd take notes. He was a meticulous, very linear thinking kind of math guy. And one of these things stood out, and it was the Flowbee. Why? Because Herb was very frugal, wasn't is. He's in Greendale, still using his Flowbee. And this contraption would save you the cost of a haircut. Not only would it save you the cost of a haircut, you didn't have to drive to the barber. You didn't have to wait your turn. Haircuts keep going up in price. Well, if you pay just once, $149.98, this thing's going to take care of you. Well, yeah, that sounds like snake oil, but 35 years later, Herb is still using his, and he's so sold on it, he bought a backup unit in case they quit making them. Now he's up to 300, but he claims that he's saved about $7,000 through the years. He's kept track of every penny he thinks he's saved. He believes he's saved. And not only that, he used it on his 2 sons, Daniel and Josh, into middle school. Then they became a little rebellious of dad and his haircut. They wanted to look like their friends, so they paid for their own. But the proof of the pudding
that's good.
Was that he cut his mother's hair. He grew up in Cudahy. His dad was a welder, heavy industrial, down-to-earth, blue-collar, frugal people, watch their money. He cut his mother's hair. She loved it. So how can you beat it? I mean, and Herb's still shaving away down in Greendale, as far as I know.
You know what? I don't spend money wildly on items all the time, but I am going to do it with a haircut. I think I could afford the cost of a haircut every few weeks and look good. Now, I did, and I told you, I did look up 2 YouTube videos on the Flowbee, and supposedly there's no hair laying around because it's basically a vacuum cleaner with a cutter is what it is.
Yep.
It sucks your hair up, and again, it won't work with hair like mine because I have thick, curly hair, and it doesn't work that well with that. If you have, thinner hair, it works better. It sucks your hair up in this vacuum cleaner, and then the device clips it, and it does it while you're combing it. You got to see the YouTube video on this Flowbee. And I remember hearing about it years ago. Somebody mentioned it, and my wife mentioned it a couple of years ago. And when she said, "Up, oh, there's an article here on the Flowbee. We got to read this thing." And
well,
I'm sure he's not the only one who swears it. And Ron Popeil, who you mentioned, he's got all the pocket fisherman. He's got all these devices, Ron Popeil. He was a big TV pitchman, and people swear by him.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff being sold in that era. I don't know if it still is, but Herb and reportedly George Clooney has used one on himself for 25 years.
Yeah.
And Mike Myers in Wayne's World joked about it and called it the suck cut. It does suck hair up.
Yeah.
I'm glad you chose this story to talk about and kick this off today, because our Wisconsin magazine is about Wisconsin. Yes, that's true. It says so on the cover. But truly, it's about the people of Wisconsin, and that's what makes this place so wonderful. The Flobee was invented by Rick Hunts, who is a building contractor out in San Francisco in the 70s, somewhere in that area, in the Bay Area. And he'd get done working all day, and he'd have sawdust and wood chips and stuff in his hair. And he came up with this idea to vacuum the stuff out of his hair. What if we added a cutter to this with the vacuum hose? And I could cut my hair, too, while I'm, getting the junk out of it. And that's where it came from, and he's on there pitching, and Herb in Wisconsin with his Midwestern values and being down to earth, heard that pitch, thought it made sense, bought it. Here we are 35 years later.
You got to look up the YouTube videos for this thing if you've never seen it in action. It's you know what it looks like? You ever see those shop vacs you have? That's right. It's a vacuum cleaner shop vac with a clipper at the end of it, and that's how it works.
Well, one's black and white from 35 years ago. It kind of looks like the colors that the DeWalt things come in, but it's not made by them. And he's not using a drill on his head or a saw, but it could be. And he's smiling.
Well, you know what it is? Even if you try and it doesn't work, your hair grows back. Sometimes.
Don, I think you ought to give it a try. If you make a mistake, it grows back.
Yeah, but it says it doesn't work. I have thick, curly hair, and it doesn't work well with that, it said. Because I asked my wife.
Impatient. You just got to go slow.
It's a vacuum cleaner with a shop vac on your head. We're speaking with Mike Beno, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. The new issue just hit the mailbox. And by the way, how do you get the magazine if you want Our Wisconsin Magazine?
Well, it's pretty easy. There is a toll-free number you can call. It is 877-717-8925.
We were thinking about sending in an article. Whether you use it or not, it's up to you. But WRJN turns 100 years old this December.
Wowee.
And we have a full exhibit, which will be on display beginning of December at the Racine Heritage Museum. They gave us a huge space to put the timeline, the history of the station, artifacts from the station. We have a picture of Eleanor Roosevelt in front of our microphone, and that microphone, the microphone flag that's on there, will be on display that she stood in front of talking years ago at Wingspread here, but we covered it. And there's all great pictures, memorabilia. So our 100th birthday is coming up in December at the Racine Heritage Museum, and you might be able to write something up. Maybe you use it, maybe you don't. But you did use the story on the county fairs. This is the season for state fairs, county fairs. And where I grew up, we didn't have county fairs. They just didn't have them. And the state fair was about 400 miles away, so we didn't go to the state fair. But every year we go to the Racine County Fair. My wife's from Union Grove, where they have the fair. And we went to yesterday, and we stake out exactly what we're going to do when we get in there. We stake out. The first thing we do is hit the cheese curds. Got to start off with the cheese curds. After that, we hit the 4-H food stand, and I get my milkshake every year. She gets her lemonades. And then we hit the mercantile barns where they talk about the history of the fair, state fair, all these things, history of the county fair. And we do that, and then we walk around, and our church has a tent there. We walk around there. We go to the midway. So we have it all mapped out. Yesterday was a perfect day for it. It wasn't hot, and it was just a beautiful day. But let's talk about some of the fairs you talk about here, including something we didn't know. The Ozaukee County Fair is the last fair in Wisconsin. It's free, huh?
The last free fair in Wisconsin. And it's a big deal up there near Cedarburg. We have a reader named Christine Shemeka of Saukville, right next door. And she grew up in that county. And the fair in the summer was truly a big deal, traditional, in the past, there was much more of an agrarian economy, family farms, I would say, in Wisconsin. It's tilted a little bit more toward industrial farms, but family farming really was the whole impetus behind the fairs. The produce that was brought in to show, the animals, and the kids got into it because of 4-H principally. That taught them a whole lot more than just farming. There are a lot of skills that 4-H teaches to young kids who are going through school. But Christine was into that. And your 4-H projects, okay, that involves the farm animals. So she had a horse named Maliki, and that meant hours of riding lessons and practice and meetings, and they had to oil and saddle soap their tack, and they had to polish their boots because they're going to show this animal. They had to sew riding vests that were colorful, and they would match with a jacket and jodhpurs and all of that. So it was a lot of work that went into getting ready for the fair and maybe winning a ribbon. Meanwhile, her brother, Dewey, he grew a there's a photo of him in here standing next to his record potted sunflower, which is about twice as tall as him, and he won a blue ribbon for that. But he was especially proud of the fudge he made. He made a pan of fudge, and of course, it's not just planting plants and animal husbandry. There's also fiber arts that, sewing, and there's also foods that are judged in competition. Dewey decided to make some fudge, made his fudge at home, and of course, all this is last minute, like any school project is. The kids are throwing this stuff together at the end. The parents are getting a little bit agitated as the clock is ticking down to get these entries in. And fudge. Well, you got to let that cool off, of course, and one of the barn cats got in and walked across the kitchen counter and trucked right across the fudge and left cat prints in the fudge. So what did he do? He smoothed it over, entered it, and he won a blue ribbon. I don't know if they tasted it, but it's fun. And the Ozaukee County Fair, it dates to 1859. And when Dewey grew up to be about 18, he got himself a junker car, and he and his father and his brother got involved in the demolition derby on Friday and Saturday nights, and that's making a bunch of noise. And the people who bring their animals, the kids, stay there in the barn with them and keep them calm because they're hearing wrecked cars flying around outside. But it's all part of the summer tradition, summer fun. And like you said, Don, it's there's a lot there. And even if this one doesn't charge admission, but even if you're paying a few bucks to get in, it's worth going.
You know, 2 years, for 2 years, I called the demo derby. I think it was the Walworth County Fair. They asked me if I'd do it because the guy doing it couldn't do it those years. So I called the demolition derby. What I didn't know was my daughter went with me, and we stand on a platform off to the side. But these cars are kicking up mud balls. I mean, they hurt, and they hit you, and there's no shield for me. And they're flying, and half the time I'm paying no attention to what's going on. I'm dodging the dirt balls coming at me. And I say, is there like a booth I can stand in? No, you got to be on the platform. And my daughter said, I got to get out of here. She's getting hit with these dirt. And they hurt when the car, you know, the tires spin and throws the dirt balls at you. And I said, that's it.
a whole different world from New York, right?
Yeah. We didn't have county fair. Well, we did have demo derbies. I will tell you. Listen to this. Islip Speedway in Islip, Long Island, had the Wide World of Sports was there every Labor Day weekend for the World Championship Figure Eights and the World Championship Demo Derbies at Islip Speedway. And my dad used to take me every Labor Day weekend. And the thing was, when you do it for television, there's a lot of delays. and they had all the ABC cameras on cranes catching it from every angle. But there were a lot of delays between the heats because they had to reset everything. But we had the demo derbies and the figure eight championships, and every year was on the ABC Wired World of Sports. And you try to catch yourself in the stands when you're watching it on television. But yeah, we didn't have county fairs, but I love going to them, especially the Racine County Fair, because my wife grew up in Union Grove and she's got great memories of it. But it's not huge, but you can cover it all. It's not, the state fair is huge, but the county fair is a little more compact. And the kids, even if they're at the state fair or the county fair, sleep with the animals sometimes in the barns, you know, overnight and for the, you know, the duration of the fair, they sleep with the animals. And I heard a couple of years ago somebody say, how can you sleep with these animals? I felt like saying, excuse me, do you let your dog sleep in your bed with you at night?
These animals are part of the family.
I know.
And, it's a subculture that's a little bit less prominent these days. As I said before, it used to be much more common and active. I think 4-H has tilted a little bit toward public speaking and other things educationally that are not necessarily tied to farming. But it's all good. It's all good. It's all education. And these kids sleeping with their animals, when you work with an animal for months, training and things to be ready for that one shot in the show ring, you get pretty close to them.
And by the way, you do let your dog sleep in bed with you, because I always did. So what's the difference? It's just a bigger animal. That's all there is to it.
Well, I've had Labradors, and you know they shed like grocery bags full of fur. And if you do that in the wintertime and you got chapstick on your lips, you're going to end up with a furry face in the morning. So I never let those big bounders into bed. They sleep next to me.
Mike Bino, the editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine, is here. He stops by every 2 months. We have the brand new issue out. Hit your mailbox. And once again, tell people how they can get the magazine. Because we get people say, well, I didn't see it. I don't know what it. They don't really have a newsstand anymore to pick magazines up. So how do you get it?
You can get a copy by giving us a call here after 8 o'clock. You can get a single issue if you'd like, and the number here is 715-543-2311. I'm here alone on my lonesome until the staff comes in. You're talking to the editor, but 715-543-2311. You can get a single issue. They're $7 each.
There's a picture of you in here. You didn't use the Flowbee to get that picture, did you?
No, but that's a good idea. I mean, I'd save some money on haircuts, and I'm glad you pointed that out. You know, I'll be 70 on my next birthday, and it takes me a while, but I get smart eventually.
Because you got a big head of hair there, you can get a Flowbee.
It's a little bit grayer, but I got a pretty thick head of hair.
Yep. Get that vacuum cleaner on your head and clip it off. Just the
let
thought.
Let
it
go.
Okay, so we're talking about different articles in here. Before we begin. Just like radio, too, we have a lot of people that hear the ads on radio and they say, all right, I'll try it. I'll call those people. That's how I do a lot of the stuff. I hear the ads and I give a call. It's the only way I know about stuff. And my wife said, we have to go on a weekend getaway. We went through the magazine. We found the Clausen Family Theater up in Coloma, Wisconsin. Never been there. At least I don't think I was there. And so we booked it about 2 months ago because they really booked fast. So we booked it, and we're set to go at the end of the month to the Clausen Family Theater. And from what I understand, they have different shows, and then you can pick a combo show where they pick a little bit of each one of their shows they put on throughout the year, and they put them all in one show, and that's the one we picked. Because we didn't know. We just wanted a little. It's a sampler.
Highly talented family, highly talented people musically and performing. It's been the Clausen Family Music Show has been there for a long time. It's based on a farm. It's a big barn venue that's well cleaned up and polished and all that. And it's a little bit of Branson brought to the middle of the state. They do shows from 50s music to doo-wop to to a Christmas show, to Elvis, to everything in between, and busloads of people do come there for their and they serve a lunch or they serve a dinner with it, and it's a wonderful getaway. And you chose a good one. I think you took the sampler there, and I'll expect a report next time we're on the air here. You let me know how that went.
I certainly will. I'll give my review. I'll give you up to 1 to 4 stars. We'll see how it comes out. We did look up the reviews, by the way, and they give sterling reviews, so that's why we decided to do it. Okay, let's talk about this. Is I picked my two stories for the first half hour. That fine shine. This is you see these on the freeways. The stainless steel tankers. They contain milk. These aren't the flammable. the ones that say highly flammable. You're trying to get close enough to read it, and you say, whoa, I'm too close. This is the milk truck. Let's talk about that.
Well, you know, this Jim Forrest of Wausau wrote this, and the very shiny, pristine, stainless steel trucks that are up and down the freeways all around this state, they're ubiquitous. You don't really even think that much of them. I mean, for decades and decades, I've seen these, and I just stopped and let's think about these things a minute. Yeah, they're a part of Wisconsin as much as anything I can think of, and they're crawling all over the state. It's not that way in most other states. And what they're doing is these stainless steel tankers are hauling something like 32 billion pounds of milk up and down the highways of the dairy state. That's milk, but there's got to be a little bit more of a story behind it. And there is. The guys who are running these trucks, it's more than just moving some milk around. They're involved in some of the chemistry, some of the biology, some of the making sure that load is right to bring to the dairy. So you've got these smaller trucks. They take about 6,000 gallons or 50,000 pounds of milk. And then they have the longer semis, as people say. So that's 67,000 pounds of milk. So the little shorter trucks are a little bit more common. And they're hauling milk from the farms to the dairies to be converted to cheese or whatever whatever use it's put to. Pete Lemke is one of 300 different haulers around the state. And what's interesting is that he's not only driving this truck, so he's going to go, and the trucks are not refrigerated, as you might think. They're heavily, heavily insulated. Temperature is absolutely the key thing they're looking at there, because if that milk gets to 45 degrees or higher, the whole load is rejected. It's chilled at the farm. It goes into a tower. And Pete'll back that truck up in there, and then he's going to take a sample for temperature. He's watching some of these computers to see how much milk is going into the truck. So the responsibility for taking the load in and doing some testing before taking it down the road falls on the driver. He's not just some truck driver. He's schooled in what needs to happen.
He's a milkologist.
He's a milkologist. There we are. It's a 62-foot rig, and he's using sterilized needles to test, testing for antibiotics, testing for numerous things. And then he takes that to from the silo and to the milk processing plant. Now, what's interesting, the way the business has changed. Now, we just talked about the fair, and there's family farms, and you used to see a lot more Holsteins out on the landscape grazing with small farms. There's no secret that it has gone a little bit bigger, I mean sizes of farms, and turned a little bit more commercial. In 2002, there was like 16,000 dairy farms in the state, a little more than that. And by 2024, it's about 5,000 farms producing milk. But they're hauling way more in terms of pounds of milk. There's more production. Pete says his firm used to pick up milk from over 90 farms. Now it's down to 6.
Ooh.
But they're hauling way more milk. It's the way the business is going. Most of the milk goes into cheese production. But Wisconsin's still the dairy state. California may have surpassed us in terms of total pounds of milk that's produced. But we make more cheese than anybody else, and it's always judged the best. So we're right up there. And these, anytime you see these shiny trucks, think about that. It's a huge industry. And these guys are proud. They purposely keep those trucks washed, squeaky clean, and if it's not quite bright enough, they use a weak acid solution to etch the outside of that and get it shiny and glossy. And they're proud of what they do.
I can't imagine that temperature rising and everything is dead. They have to dump it. I can't imagine something like that happening.
All that production, it's important. I don't have anything on the economics of a load, how much a load of milk is worth dollar-wise, but
it's got to be huge. I'll tell you what a gallon of milk is worth, because I drink a gallon a week.
Good for you.
Because all I do is drink water, orange juice, and milk. I don't drink coffee or anything, and that's all I drink. So a couple of times a day, I have a small cup of milk, but it adds up, or I got to get a gallon of milk every week. And if I'm too lazy to go to the supermarket, I hit the gas station. There's something about buying milk at a gas station that bothers me, but I do it. It's a brand name. It was at a gas station. But I do it. I'll run at it, 9 o'clock at night, hit the gas station, and because I got to have milk. I drink a gallon of milk at time. This is interesting.
You're supporting Wisconsin, and I'm proud of you.
Wow. This was amazing when I heard that just a few degrees, and it's done. And why don't they use refrigerated trucks?
Well, I think to have that, first of all, it's got to be due to some cost, I would say. But when you've got a refrigerator unit, you're taking aboard so much more equipment, and I would guess the trucks would have to be bigger in order to do it. And I think that the key is to keep the trip short. You've got 300 haulers. I think that's why you have so many haulers with so few factories, is that they're geographically pulling these, taking shorter trips. So that's what I'd say. And they have found a way to insulate them. As I remember seeing these trucks in the early 1970s. So it's a system that seems to work.
We're talking to Mike Beno from Our Wisconsin Magazine. We have one more article we're going to talk about, with just the tip of the iceberg in this issue, which is, it's a two-month issue, and we've got the August-September issue here, and the Out West Cheese Fest. Now, I think of cheese fests here in Wisconsin. This is out west, out in California, right?
It certainly is, and we just talked a little bit about California and Wisconsin's friendly rivalry in milk production. Well, in California, it's a little bit different of a lifestyle and a vibe and all of that, and we well know that. There's a fellow by the name of Jeff Kunkel who is a Wisconsin native, and he moved out to around the Bay Area in Oakland quite some time ago. And, when you get away from Wisconsin for too long, you start to miss some things, And one thing that he got a hankering for was a real Wisconsin picnic, a real Wisconsin picnic where they're grilling brats and they're roasting corn and they got beer and kegs of beer and polka music and there's Packers and Badger talk. And so there's a gentleman out there named Wayne Walsky from Milwaukee. He's the cheesemeister, the master of ceremonies, you may say, for this cheese fest. He's been involved with this since the 1980s, a picnic in California. This started in 1939. And they're up to their 86th annual. It's Wisconsinites who are just pining for home. And so they get together, about 150 people, in Galvin Park in Santa Rosa. That's about an hour north of San Francisco. And they have a a hillside, and they have some shade trees, and up go the Bucky Badger pennants and flags, and the people bring their own food to, you know, dish to pass. It's baked beans and potato salads and casseroles and Jello salads and bars, brownies, and what have you. And there's a couple of bearded guys grilling up the brats, and they got two kegs. One's Pabst Blue Ribbon, and there's a modest entrance fee, not very much. People are dressed up in their Holstein regalia, and they have a cheese tasting competition, California against Wisconsin, and everybody's welcome. So, you know, Jeff Kunkel, you know, he said at a usual California picnic, there's arugula, and the only meat that's on the table is maybe the bugs that's on the salad. Here they're going for the bratwurst, and they're having fun as well. They've got a state map up there, and there's hot spots, and people can write things on the map and show where they're from. And someone writes on the southern part of the state of Wisconsin, Baja, Wisconsin, western corner of the map, Minnesota Stan, to the north, Michigan wasteland, and down south around Illinois, where those people come from. But, you know, they're welcome. They come, and they put on the regalia, and they're celebrating Wisconsin that far away from home. Our Wisconsin magazine, about a third of our subscriptions are gift subscriptions, and many of those are given to Wisconsinites who live far away. Not surprisingly, it's in places like California and Arizona where it's a little warmer, but it's a chance to reconnect with their roots. You know, in California, they have the slogan, great milk comes from happy cows come from California. Well, we beg to differ, and because our cheese always wins at this cheese-off competition we have right here. And they raffle off cheese heads, Packer jerseys, Badgers stuff, Drink Wisconsinably T-shirts, Spotted Cow beer, crock pot full of sauerkraut, and green and gold, and you get an invitation to a private sauerkraut making lesson in California. So they're hoping comedian Charlie Behrens will come join them. If Charlie's listening, hey, you can go out there and get a free chunk of cheese, and they'll probably even give you a cheese head and a Holstein shirt.
And an Academy Award.
That's right.
Hey, you have an ad in here, talking about cheese making, with the Cheese Making Center Museum out in Monroe. Last year we went to New Glarus, and then we went down to Monroe to the Cheese Making Museum. It really is interesting. I mean, they have the docents there who take you on a tour, and we weren't part of a group, but she said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a private tour. And we went through, and it's not big. It takes a while because she explains everything. And it's really interesting about how you have to be to be a cheesemaker in Wisconsin. It's not easy to get the master's, you know, degree in that. And they run through all the cheese, how it's done. They show you how it's done. And by the time you're done, I want some cheese. Now, they don't sell it there, but they do have a huge cheese store right down the block. And I went there, and I got to try all these different cheeses, because I love cheese. And they had something called Grand Cru. I never heard of it before, but they gave me a sample. And I said, this is great. I love this. It's a mild cheese, but I never tasted anything like it before. And they had two. They could buy a chunk, or you can buy the, you know, slices of it. So I bought the slices, got back here, finished it. I can't find a store that sells it around here in Racine. Grand Cru. And I'm not going to go schlepping out to Monroe just to get a package of cheese. So I got to find out where they sell this Grand Cru, C-R-U, cheese. It was delicious. So if you get a chance and you're out there, the reason we were out there was the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Award ceremony was that weekend, and it's in Middleton. And while we're out there, we said, we always do a little tour of something as long as we're out there. And we did that. New Glarus, which they have a museum there in New Glarus, too, we went to. And also the Cheese Making Museum. But the ad's in there if you want to take a look at it. In this issue, the ad was on page 12. And yep. So it, you know, you find a lot of good places to go. That's what we do now. We just We want a weekend getaway. Look through the magazine and find out where we're going to go. This
you
is great.
Took a pass on the Limburger, huh?
No. You know, I never tasted it. It just has a reputation, and that's
it. Does.
And by the way, did you say master of ceremonies or Meister of ceremonies? I can't. Did you say you said?
No, I didn't say it correctly. It's a cheese meister. That's Wayne Walski.
But
he's running the whole show, and it's in September. It's coming up. You can.
But
everybody is invited. You can go there if you want to travel.
But he wouldn't be the master of ceremonies. He'd be the Meister of ceremonies.
Der Meister. That's true.
The Meister of ceremonies. Well, thank you very much. I love talking to you every 2 months. We talk about our Wisconsin magazine, and it's a great issue, and it's a very unusual cover. You have the inside, we're out of time, but you have the inside of a balloon, a hot air balloon, which is really nice. It's really a nice orangey yellow cover. And the articles are great. And one more time, how do they get the magazine?
Well, you can get a single issue by calling 715-543-2311.
And we'll have this podcast later today, so in case you missed any of it. And all the times we've spoken to Mike Bino, they're all podcasts on there. We have like 550 podcasts at WRJN.com, civicmedia.us, and also Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Mike, thanks a lot. I do appreciate talking to you.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Don.
Okay. Mike Bino, everybody, from Our Wisconsin Magazine.